You are listening to member-supported KAXE KBXE. When George Floyd was murdered on the streets of Minneapolis on May 25th of 2020, protests erupted in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the nation and the world. But that also includes small towns and rural places in northern Minnesota. Places like Bemidji and Brainerd and Grand Rapids, the Iron Range, Ely. Protests began in the days and the weeks after George Floyd's death, but they continue still. In Brainerd, there is frequently a protest right on the main drag on Washington Avenue. The Black Lives Matter group meets there, and they protest racial inequality. They are greeted by, on the opposite side of the street, a group of counter-protesters that have American flags and Confederate flags flying. In Grand Rapids this week, Tuesday night, July 28th, there was a rally at Old Central School. It was titled Back the Blue, and it was described as in support of local police. Brian Vroman is an instructor at Itasca Community College, and he serves in the leadership of the local Indivisible group. He contacted KEXE KBXE today to let us know that the rally was not what he expected.
I went there first just to observe with no intention of staying. I was there with my wife, and we just wanted to see who was showing up. Even though it was Back the Blue rally, there was a lot of Trump regalia, Trump flags, things of that nature. So then we left and we went out to my mother-in-law's for dinner. I knew there were some young people, including a few of my students I teach at the college, who were organizing a counter-protest. I had no intention of going because, number one, I think a counter-protest, I thought that was a bad idea. It could just lead to bad things happening. And also, I'm not necessarily where they're at on the issue. I support major police reform. I think that's necessary. I want to take a stand against police brutality and misconduct, but I don't agree with abolishing the police or anything like that. And there are a few people there who maybe do, and I thought there might be some ACAB signs, and and I'm not with that. So I didn't want to go. But then about 6:30 last night, I got a message from one of my students who is an African-American woman, young woman who was there, and she said that a car had jumped the curb trying to hit protesters. And I had ridden with my wife. My mother-in-law lives out in Trout Lake Township, but I told my wife, I said, I just feel like I need to be there. And so she brought me back to town, dropped me off, and I didn't know what I was going to do there, what my role would be. And I ended up being sort of a de-escalator. I got in between a couple women who appeared, they might get in a fight and things like that. But mainly I was there just to try to de-escalate and prevent confrontations. But I think everybody has the right to speak. It's protected by the First Amendment. And people even have the right to say really rotten things. But nobody has a right to try to use physical violence or intimidation. And that's what happened. And, I would say it, the same thing if it happened to the other side. That's just uncalled for. These people were young people, maybe a little bit idealistic. That's okay. They're engaged citizens. That's great. And they were out there expressing their opinion about a controversial issue. They don't deserve to, have a car try to run them over. I'm stating the obvious. It's so completely out of line. Unfortunately, they didn't get the license number. But these kids have been working, and they have found a video of the incident. And it's not detailed enough to see the license number, but you can see the car pretty clearly and what happened. So they're working on trying to track down more information regarding who it might have been.
That's Brian Vroman. He's a Grand Rapids resident, an instructor at Itasca Community College. Brian ended up going back to the rally because he got a text from one of his students, Megan Phillips.
I knew that this Back the Blue rally was in response to Itasca area Indivisible's Black Lives Matter and George Floyd rally. And, I'm biracial, I'm half black, I'm half white, and there's, Itasca County is 92% white. And I felt, when I drove by at first, there were, people holding Trump flags. There was a man who had a Confederate flag tattoo on his leg. There were just a bunch of signs. I had been going back and forth to Minneapolis for the George Floyd protest. And, you know, coming home to Grand Rapids, it felt very unwelcoming. And I've tried to work with the police department before in terms of kind of more minority outreach and speaking about race, but I've been continuously shut down by the chief and assistant chief, who tells me that they don't see color and that they don't have those problems here. But I live in this town. I know that there are those problems here. I've experienced those problems. So I went with a group of other people to counter protest this rally. And for about the first 10 minutes, everything was great, moving sailing. We were on the sidewalk in front of Members Credit Union, and they were, of course, in front of Old Central School. And it was fine. We were both on our respective sides until we had all these Trump supporters and Back the Blue supporters come across the street over to our side and kind of box us in. And really, I think out of the 100 plus people there, there were maybe five with masks on, well, as our group all were masked up and social distancing. So they would get on either side of the sidewalk from us and just slowly kind of move in and box us in, kind of forcing us to move because, you know, they didn't have masks. And after that, it just got more and more aggressive. They would kind of come over and say, like, oh, you know, you're a communist scum, and, you know, Jesus still loves you even though you're a communist, and, you know, things to try to instigate. So we were very, just let them be, just do what we need to do. And then we had a little red car drive up and jumped the curb trying to hit us. And after that, we called the police and let them know what was happening, that these people were, you know, kind of getting in our face and that we just had a car, you know, try to kill us. And the officer told one of our members that called the police that there was nothing they could do about that. But eventually an officer showed up, and he was recording us, kind of mocking us with some of the Back the Blue members. Laughing and joking. It was really disheartening to see. We had just about every squad car that drove by flicked on their sirens and honked in support of these Back the Blue / Trump supporters. And I think with everyone, it was upsetting, especially considering the chief had told us previously that the police department will not get involved in any sort of rally, political or otherwise. But then to see all these officers kind of, I don't want to say picking a side, but showing support of these people and their behavior. So I ended up calling a reporter from Mesabi Times, who came down and kind of got the story from everybody. And, you know, we decided to stay until the very last supporter left. And we ended up doing that. I think they left around 10 o'clock, and there were still about 20 of us on the opposite side of the street.
If I was driving by last night, would I have assumed it was a rally for Trump, not a...
Yes.
Okay.
Back the Blue.
Okay. It was called that, but most of, like, visually what you could see was about Trump.
There were just a ton of, like, Trump signs, Trump hats, Trump shirts. There were some Thin Blue Line flags and just American flags in general, but, you know, a lot of people would drive by and start chanting Trump from their car. So from even people in the car, it was a Trump rally, really.
So tell me a little bit about what you would like to do with police, how you think your perspective on your life in Grand Rapids could help the work that they do.
So I actually joined the police community advisory board for that very reason, because, like I said, it's a 92% white area, and I feel like as a minority, as soon as I moved up here, I would, you know, be trailed in stores or get questioning looks. I've gotten pulled over by officers for everything under the sun, driving too slow, thinking that I'm drunk for driving too slow, trying to see if I own the vehicle I'm in. So I felt like for me and for the very few people of color in this community, it wasn't just my responsibility, it was my job to work with the police department and have people of color in this community feel safe and welcomed and protected by their department.
What does it mean to you when you hear something like, we don't see race?
I think it's a very blasé way of saying that this doesn't affect me, and I don't need to deal with this, or there's no such thing as not seeing color. It's how you react and respond to that, what you're seeing. It feels very just dismissive of any sort of problem a minority could report. You just dismiss, essentially.
That's Itasca Community College student Megan Phillips. She's telling us about her experience as part of a group of people counter-protesting the rally Back the Blue. It was this last Tuesday night in Grand Rapids and was said to be supporting local police. But both Megan and Brian Vroman felt visually and through derisive language and actions, it was more of a negative type of Trump rally. I'm Heidi Holton. It's KEXE, KBXE. In the next part of our conversation, I asked Brian what he sees in younger people, his students at Itasca Community College, who get involved in these kinds of protests and rallies.
That's a very good question. So when we had the rally regarding the death of George Floyd, we got a ton of new members, and a lot of them were 20-something in our individual group. The crowd last night, at least initially, the Trump people, the crowd is very old. And I just want to say, going off on a tangent now, I say the Trump crowd because that's really what it was. This didn't impress me as so much a we support the police rally as a we support Donald Trump rally. And that's too bad because, as I said earlier, you know, I'm not anti-police. I support police reform. But, you know, I'm not for, you know, I don't hate police. I don't believe all cops are bastards or any of that stuff. But at any rate, this is what I'm seeing, you know, and I think a lot of surveys will bear this out. Trump supporters are disproportionately older white people, disproportionately male, and young people, the Gen Z people, tend to be, they have very different views regarding things like race, LGBTQ rights, things of this nature. They see the world in a very different way. Now, this isn't all of them. Of course, there are some who are on the right. There are a lot of young libertarians, for example. But I see a lot of young people who, to them, the idea of racism is, you know, that's just silly. Of course, black people are equal. And as far as, you know, gay rights, of course, gay marriage is okay. It's just not even an issue with them. I've never seen such young energy. And what really brought it to the surface was the George Floyd murder. It was like somebody hit a switch that really is getting young people engaged.
One of those young people that Brian's talking about here is Megan Phillips. She's a student at Itasca Community College. She's part of that counter-protest earlier this week in Grand Rapids. But she's also been spending a lot of time on the streets of Minneapolis protesting George Floyd's death.
I felt safe there. It wasn't just, I wasn't the only person of color protesting, which was the big difference from here in Grand Rapids. And Minneapolis, I've heard a lot of people say that the protesters started looting and rioting. And while there were looting and rioting, the protesters, we peacefully marched and chanted. And I didn't personally see that. I know it took place, but I was in the thick of everything. I was helping. I was doing medical, so I was patching up the wounds of a rubber bullet while state police were firing tear gas canisters at our heads. And so to come home and kind of hear people say that this isn't a problem, this doesn't affect us, you know, it affects me. I grew up in Minneapolis. You know, George Floyd died calling for his mother on the streets that I used to walk on as a child. So it was just an incredibly emotional experience. I was just incredibly angry and upset. And then to come home and have this response, I'm incredibly disappointed in my community. I thought that we were better than this. It's just, it's hard. It kind of feels like there's a target on your back at some point.
Are you hopeful?
Definitely the Grand Rapids Police Department's response does not make me hopeful for this community, considering they were invited to a event to listen to, you know, people of color's experiences on the range and declined the invitation, wherein other police departments around Itasca County attended. The fact that I can't get through personally to the chief or assistant chief, that I am, you know, shot down with excuses or things like that, doesn't make me hopeful at all for this community. I know that we're better than this and that we can come out of the 60s that we're currently living in. But right now, I'm just incredibly disappointed, but that's not no way going to stop me. All the rally goers that I saw last night were white. I understand that sometimes it's really difficult to step into someone else's shoes, but I think just listening is so important and not trying to find excuses to deny those experiences is just incredibly important. I think right now in this community, that's really hard for a lot of people to do.
So what are you studying? What do you want to do?
After I'm finished at ICC, I'll be transferring to either Washington or New York to study political science and criminology.
That's Megan Phillips, a student from Itasca Community College. She's involved in protests and counter-protests in Grand Rapids as well as in Minneapolis. We'll continue to cover on KEXE, KBXE, as time permits, as people connect with us, on the protests and the things going on in rural communities, like in Brainerd and in Bemidji and on the Iron Range. Please let us know what's happening in your region. We'd love to hear your stories. Email comments at kaxe.org. I thank Brian Vroman for contacting us today about what happened earlier this week in Grand Rapids. He teaches at Itasca Community College. He teaches a class on war and propaganda. Next week, we'll be talking more with Brian about the changing face of media, how people get their news, how news is changing. Here, Brian will give us a little idea of our future conversations.
If you want to know what I really think about this, I think the professional spin has been going on for a long time for political reasons, especially on the right. The right is much better at it than the left. But I also think there's something more insidious going on right now. I think this is really frightening. Any institution that might be an arbiter of truth in any field is under attack, whether it's science, whether it's the universities, whether it's Dr. Fauci, anybody who might present a truth that's contrary to the personal view of Donald Trump is attacked. Their attempts made to discredit whatever institution or whatever individual that may be. The way authoritarian governments work, the first thing they do is try to control what people believe. They fight a war on truth. And then in the end, only dear leader provides the truth. Whatever dear leader says, that's true. And I see us going down that slippery slope. And I think we better be very, very careful.
That's Brian Vroman with his thoughts on the current political climate. You can get a hold of us, send us your thoughts, email comments at kexe.org. And tune in for our statewide conversation every Friday at 11:30. Tomorrow, we welcome Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. We'll talk about the state's response to COVID-19 and the decision regarding schools in the fall. It's the morning show on KEXE, KBXE. It's a change is gonna come.